Looking for a job? A whole new career? Shamrock Roofing and Construction is hiring. We're looking for hardworking individuals to join the team for everything from project management to office administration. Interested? Visit shamrockroofer.com/careers.
Thanks for joining us here again on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You're listening to She's on the Mic with Bethany Bowman. That is me. And now joined here in studio by Chief Scout Anthony McGee. He is a hometown hero. You guys might know him as a Lee Summit West former football player. Anthony, so great to have you in studio. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on wrapping up a successful NFL draft. I know it was a lot of work. You told me as you came in that you are tired, and rightfully so. But, I mean, how excited are you guys to have wrapped up this great draft class? You guys were pick 32, and you're getting some of the best grades out there for the players you were able to bring in.
Yeah, it's a humbling experience to be pick 32, but to get the guys that we got, especially the ones that we wanted, it's – the way things fall to us, it's just great. So we're feeling great right now, feeling good, have a great class, and I can't wait to see these guys in action.
So take us back. I know we've had you on the show once before, but as I mentioned, a graduate of Lee Summit West High School. You played at Emporia State. I also went there, so met you in college. But, I mean, talk about your journey to this role and to this position with the Chiefs and, you know, what sparked your interest in it and then what allowed your, you know, success in this as you've gone along.
Yeah, it's a real unorthodox route. So actually, my senior year of college, I wanted to be a sports agent. So I was actually going to go to law school and was preparing for that. And then I had an opportunity with the Chiefs in the community outreach department with the Play 60 program. They offered me a position basically to be kind of like a tour guide for kids. And I just, you know, went on a leap of faith, switched that route, accepted that job. And from there, you know, I went to, you know, player engagement, back to community outreach. And through that time, I had been working with the scouting department, especially in the off seasons. And then came COVID. And so that kind of, you know, stifled a lot for me. And it was kind of a humbling year because I didn't have anything really going. And then once that season kind of wrapped up, reached out. And here we are going on my seventh season with the Chiefs, fourth as a scout. So it's been a blessing. And I knew I wanted to always work in football because that's just kind of been my life. I just wasn't sure exactly what, and you know, through these years and having to wear so many different hats, you know, I feel like I found, you know, my passion, and someone took a chance on me way back in high school, way back in college. And that's what I want to try and do, you know, now and take chances on guys and, you know, have them change their lives.
So you definitely have to take your opportunities as they come. You know, like you mentioned, you didn't start out in the scouting department. You kind of worked your way up. And, you know, when those opportunities come, you got to prove yourself. Like, hey, I'm ready for a different role, you know, a bigger role. And you've definitely done a good job of that.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was, like I said, it's been a humbling few years. You know, it wasn't all, you know, glitz and glamour. You know, there had been a lot of, you know, no's and things like that and not yet and not your time and just, you know, things like that just through the years. And then finally getting to scouting and letting them take a chance on me. You know, I want to always make sure I never take that for granted and try and do the best I can every day for these guys and the organization.
So set the scene for us. I know it was a lot leading up to the NFL draft. In fact, probably 99% of the work is done beforehand. But on draft night, like on that Thursday night, the opening night, kicking things off, I mean, what's the room like? What's the vibe like? If you can kind of take us through some of that scene.
Yeah, that's actually like the calm before the storm on Thursday. It was really like the days and the weeks before that. Where all of our staff was in and we're having meetings and presenting and going through our last, you know, pockets and stacks. But the night of, it's really just a lot of waiting and seeing how the board falls. You know, we kind of go through all the scenarios through the week. So I'm like, you know, what if scenarios, but it's so hard to really do that at pick 32 and you just don't know until you know. And so it was really a lot of waiting. And then, you know, right when we got into a range where maybe Xavier Worthy was probably still around, that was when we, you know, wanted to try to make a move and just see what we could get. So, yeah, it was a lot of waiting, though. And then finally things got real hectic around like pick like 14, 15. That was when it was like, okay, this might be game time.
Yeah. I mean, are you, as the picks are coming along, you're like, hey, there's only like four or five picks before us, but are you worried that your guy's going to get taken?
Yeah. So, you know, when we finally, you know, had the plan of wanting to try and go get Worthy, then you're like, okay, please nobody take him.
Yeah.
Like the next like three, four picks, you know, before you, it's just like, okay, please. Like, and then, you know, the name gets called and it's, you know, not the person that we were going to choose. And it's like, all right, another one down. Now we got to worry about the next team. And then you're sitting there thinking, like, what do they need? What could they possibly, you know, be going for? So, yeah, it's real riveting. Those last few picks before you, that's where it's just like, please don't pick the guy.
Please let this work out for how we want it to. I did have a question, and, you know, I don't expect you to, you know, let us in on, like, the conversation between you guys, Brett Beach, you know, another team, if you're looking to make a trade like you did with the Bills. But just from a league standpoint, like a policy and a protocol standpoint, are you allowed to, in that trade talk, say, we are planning on taking this guy? Or is that kind of not allowed?
You can keep, you know, the conversation like as confidential as you personally want.
Okay.
So you would like to not give up who you are wanting to give
up.
Yeah. But there's probably questions that you could sometimes ask to maybe like
get a feel.
Yeah. But yeah, you try to steer on not wanting to tell.
I gotcha.
Because you just hope they don't want to.
Yeah, because maybe they're going to go get him. Then you know, absolutely. Yeah. But I didn't know if there is, you know, is the league monitoring those calls? Are there any rules, anything like that? Like you can and can't say.
No, not really. I mean, there's cameras in all of the rooms, and the phones are all, you know, recorded. But there's not really any guidelines that of what you can or can't do specifically.
For sure. Well, I want to get into basically all of these picks that you guys made. But first, I have to ask the question. Are any of them your guys? I mean, I know sometimes it's a guy that you saw or you found. I'm sure it's a collective effort between a lot of people, but is there anybody that was like, hey, that's a guy I kind of had my eye on?
I know. Well, through the time and through the process, you know, you get to watch, you know, certain guys. From my actual area of who I scouted, none of the guys are mine, but as the names kind of come across and we watch them as a room, you do start to fall in love with certain guys. And then getting to meet them, a few of them that came in on 30 visits and talking with them, they started to get more personal with relationships. And you're like, oh, man, like he could really fit here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, a lot of those guys are great. A few of them, you know, I got to meet through the process and real big culture guys.
Great. Good to hear. So we'll start off with round one, pick 28, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver out of Texas. Of course, everyone knows about the speed, 4.21, set the NFL combine record. The only real thing I've seen as far as, you know, maybe backlash is just the size. And I don't like that. You know, I love the undersized guys. I don't think that really plays too much of a part in you know, their potential or how they're going to pan out. I mean, I love it. I love the pick. Can you just tell us a little bit from the Chiefs organization standpoint what you guys see in Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, he has, you know, speed that you can't coach. Great route runner. I think that's one thing that kind of gets overlooked. You know, everyone, you know, talks about his speed, but great route runner and runs hard. You know, people might question, you know, how big he is or things like that. But again, between the lines, you can tell on the field when he has the ball in his hands, he runs hard and he's hard to take down. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, if you can play football, you can play football. If you can get open, catch the ball and score touchdowns, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how big or, you know, small someone is. He's very talented, and he was there for a reason for us.
And I saw, you know, he already has a Chiefs tat. He wasted no time tattooing the team that took him in the draft. I mean, that's got to be great to see from your side of things.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, he's excited to be here, and you love that he's already passionate about wanting to be here, and you can tell his excitement when he came in the building. You know, he was just cheesing the whole time. But seeing him get a tattoo of us, that just shows that he's excited and he's ready to come and get to work.
And then, you know, he's going to fit in great with the Chiefs offense. I mean, you look at, obviously, guys that have had success in the past. He fits that mold. Just how much of that do you guys look at? And, you know, I know you want to take probably the best available player, but for a team especially that's at this point in, you know, two Super Bowls already, back-to-back right now, looking for its third, you really have to fit in perfectly to be a member of this team.
Right. And, I mean, it's a new season. Every year and every team is different. You know, we've won Super Bowls, and it has looked in different fashions each time. And so this year is a new team, and we wanted to make sure that we try and just get, you know, the best talented players that we could, that we really liked and felt like we could get and maximize their talents in our offense. And so, you know, having Xavier Worthy, you know, in our offense under Coach Reed, working with Pat and all the rest of the receivers, that group as a whole, they're going to be so talented, and they're going to do a lot for us. And it'll really change our trajectory just as a whole and give us a good look for this, you know, next season.
We're talking with Chief Scout Anthony McGee here in studio at Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just talked about Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs' first-round pick. We're now going to move on to the round two pick at 63, Kingsley Suamataia, offensive tackle, BYU. That's a guy I did not think would be on the board at round two, pick 63. You did trade up again one spot for that pick, but, man, I thought he was a late first to definitely, you know, top to mid-round second rounder, but you guys able to get a really great offensive tackle there.
Yeah, that was we were very excited to get him, especially. And, you know, you would think that he would have went earlier. I'm glad he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we got into a range where we were able to capitalize. But, no, he's going to be a great player for us. He's going to fit right in with the O-line room as a whole. He's a great culture fit. So I'm excited for him and his energy and be able to learn under the O-lineman that we have now and see what he can do for us.
One thing I read about Kingsley as well, he has a boxing background. Have you heard anything about that?
He actually told me on his 30 visit that he was really into boxing, and we kind of, you know, went more in depth about that. So that was the only way I knew about it. But, you know, he's like passionate about boxing, which probably helps with cardio and things like that, and his hand placement. And, yeah, I thought that was actually a really interesting fact about him. I wouldn't have, you know, guessed it, but he's, like, really passionate about boxing. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting fact I got to learn about him when he came and visited on his 30 visit.
That's a great point because everybody always talks about footwork in the big guys, but the hands, I mean, you get great hands from boxing. That's a great point. And he allowed just 2 sacks over the last 2 seasons. Of course, we want to protect Patrick Mahomes. And what better guy to do that than a guy that essentially doesn't give up a sack? That's amazing.
Yeah, no, he has a lot of games under his belt. And like I said, he'll be able to learn in that room, contribute, and hopefully that room will be able to maximize his ability. And we can just see where he fits, and I think he'll help us in the end.
So next pick for the Chiefs was round 4, pick 131, Jared Wiley, a tight end out of TCU. When you have a tight end like Travis Kelce, who just, you know, signed, not an extension I'm hearing, but, you know, an adjusted contract, I'm not sure. There's a lot of debate on what that's called. Maybe we'll have to clear that up with you here soon. But, you know, you have to see big things out of a guy like Jared Wiley to take him as your 4th-round pick. I mean, just tell us what stands out about this guy and how he can help this offense.
Yeah, just his size and ability to move and catch the ball. That's a guy that you would like to bring in and let him learn under a guy like Travis and let him maximize his ability and knowledge under a guy like Travis, who's a Hall of Famer at the position. So, yeah, we looked at his size and just how he's able to haul in passes and move and contribute his body and game across the middle of the field, things like that. I think he'll be great just in the room and be able to learn and just see how the game works from through the eyes of Travis.
And he played 3 seasons at Texas and 2 at TCU, correct? So, let's see, did he and Worthy cross over at all?
Ooh,
I'd have to
I'm
check
not
on
sure.
that.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
We'll maybe get that figured out before the end of the show here. But then your next pick of the night was, let's see, things started happening quick. I know that, you know, that first night, the first round pick, it felt like it took forever, and then all of a sudden it was boom, boom, boom. I mean, did you guys feel like that way in the room?
First night is real slow. Then the second day is like, okay, things can go, you know, fairly quickly, pinning us, you know, wanting to trade up, things like that. And then the third day just kind of, yeah, it just flies. It's really long, but it also flies at the same time.
Yeah, it started at 11 a.m., and it just went throughout the whole afternoon. Round 4, pick 133, Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington. I am seeing really great feedback from everyone on this pick. To get a guy like that at round 4, is that a steal for the Chiefs?
Yeah, he's really talented, especially at the safety position. You know, sadly losing a guy like Mike Edwards to free agency, but being able to kind of re-up at the position with a player that shows good range, size, ball skills, things like that, in Jaden Hicks. Yeah, we're gonna be excited to be able to bring him in the room and let him just contribute with the DBs and work from there.
On to round five, pick 159, Hunter Norzad, lineman from Penn State. There's another big guy. And, you know, what stuck out about him, and what do you guys think you get in Mr. Norzad?
Yeah, I think he's able to just bring some versatility to the O-line, especially, you know, in the interior, being able to play center and, you know, possibly guard, things like that. He'll be able to, like I said, just to, like Kingsley, just to be in the room and be able to learn by those guys and learn how the game is played and learn how our offense is played. And big culture fit guy, and I think he'll fit right in with those guys and be able to find his place and be able to maximize his talent as well.
A lot of these guys I'm seeing on the line, you know, and they have experience at multiple positions on the line. Like, you're not picking a guy that, oh, I only have all my snaps here, or, you know, left tackle or right tackle. A lot of these guys you can plug into a lot of different places.
Yeah, that's kind of how the game is going. That's really cherished is versatility, you know, with tackles, being able to play left, being able to play right, you know, with interior guys, being able to play center and guard, and then, you know, sometimes a Swiss Army knife guys that are able to play all five positions on the line. That's where the game is going. That's, you know, where the value is, you know, just having versatility, because essentially that's like knocking two birds with one stone. You know, you won't need, you know, a center and a guard when there's a guy that could possibly play both. And so I just think that's been a real big value just as the game is like progressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's huge.
He didn't allow a single sack last season either, just two for Kingsley over the last two seasons. And then, you know, Hunter doesn't allow one last year. He was also rarely flagged during his time in college, just three times in 24 games. I know you guys like to see that.
Yeah, no, that's going to be good. Not getting flags, you know, we would like to not get any. So that's actually a stat I didn't know about him. But that's a good one to have.
Next up for the Chiefs in the NFL draft was round six, pick 211, Kamal Haddon, cornerback, Tennessee. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, he's a talented guy. He'll be able to contribute into that room as well. You know, we lost a guy like Snead, and so we have a very youthful group in that DB room. And, you know, we play a lot of guys just throughout the year in their own roles and their own realms. And so just like the other rookies, I think he'll be able to really come in there and come under the Trent McDuffies, the Jalen Watsons, you know, Josh Williams, guys like that, and be able to just be a great sponge and hopefully be able to come in and learn, maximize his ability, and hopefully we will be able to have him contribute, you know, in that DB room for us.
He allowed just one catch of 15-plus yards on 33 targets in 2023. You know, we called Snead such a lockdown player, but this looks like a guy that could be kind of following those footsteps.
Yeah, I don't want to put him on, you know, a pedestal. I want him to be his own person.
For sure.
So hopefully, you know, he will come in here and, like, he'll make his own name, you know, just as, you know, Trent McDuffie has made his own name and, you know, Josh and Jalen has made their own name. You know, hopefully he comes in and he just does what he needs to do, and that's just simply, you know, be him, and, you know, he's there for a reason. So hopefully he'll be able to just contribute, make his own name, and but, you know, very grateful for the things that Snead has done, and especially the precedent he set for that DB room and our organization.
Just actually found this out. He started his career at Independence Community College in Kansas. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Kind of coming
right
back to
yeah,
the
right
area.
Yeah, down the road, kind of. Yeah,
yeah, did not know that till just now. Wrapping things up here, round seven, pick 248, C.J. Hansen, offensive lineman of Holy Cross. You know, when you get to round seven, is it, hey, you know, this is a guy that stood out to us at the combine, and, you know, no disrespect to CJ for being a seventh rounder, but, you know, it's your last pick of the draft. And so kind of tell us how that process works or what the mindset is.
Yeah, no, I mean, every pick is important. I mean, you know, we found a guy like Pacheco in the seventh round,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up being, you know, our starter for us and contributing very well for us. So you take heed to late round guys just like you do, you know, your first round. Everything that we do with those late rounds is methodical. We put a lot of thought into late rounds, especially because that is where, you know, you really want to make sure you get the right type of guys And we just felt like a guy like CJ will be a great culture fit for us, and we'll be able to just come in and learn, and we'll have his own versatility with the O-line unit. And we think he'll be able to come in and do some good stuff.
Well, Anthony, you said you're heading to Mexico, actually, here coming up. Really funny, my guest before you today, Mackenzie Nelson, KSHB 41, she's heading to Cancun next week, too. So the only person on the show tonight not going to Mexico is me. Are you excited?
Yeah. You might need to go ahead and try and get out there sometime. You're the only one missing out.
Man, that's going to be fun. Any fun plans? Just, or, you know, kind of relax. Like I said, well-deserved vacation time after such a crazy, hectic last few months.
Yeah, actually, one of my high school friends, Logan Cheadle, he's getting married out there.
Okay, so a little wedding action.
It'll be exciting to get with all the guys I haven't seen in a little bit and celebrate, you know, the wedding with him.
What are the next steps for you? I know you're already into OTAs. We're going to have rookie mini camp coming up. I told Mackenzie earlier, people say, do things slow down now that the draft's over? And, for us as media members, not really, because there's a lot going on with you guys. And, of course, the Royals across the street are doing well. So a lot going on. But, you know, what's up over at over the Chiefs facilities?
Yeah, so we're back on the field with OTAs, and it's been good getting the guys back in. And then we have rookie minicamp. And so things, you know, slow down just a little bit. But at the same time, you know, we're still trying to, you know, look out for different type of guys. And also we kind of dabble into the UFL league, and that's where we kind of still search and look through that league as well. But overall, it slows down just a little bit. And now is the time for, you know, learning, especially with the new guys that we have in, you know, free agents, rookies, things like that. And so up until about mid-June, we'll have our, you know, different phases going on. And it'll be good just to kind of get those teaching moments and kind of knock the rust off of, like, the new guys in with the building.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. I know last time it was just over the phone, and so always great to catch up with you and to have you in person. This was so insightful, and once again, congratulations, because it truly is a celebratory time after the NFL draft.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. This was great, and hopefully we try and go ahead and get a three-peat. So,
let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. That was Anthony McGee, Chief Scout, joining us here in studio. And that will wrap up tonight's show. We're going to go ahead and get you some NBA playoff action coming up. Dallas Mavericks versus LA Clippers right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.